Do you remember when you were a kid? How many were like, I want to be Superman, right? I want to be Wonder Woman. You had this dream, like, you knew I could do great things. I just got to grow up and I'd be great. And it wasn't long until the world beat that out of you, right? If it didn't happen in grade school, when you got to middle school, that's when it probably happened. We're vicious. What happened to that dream? You ever wonder? I would ask, why was that dream in you in the first place? Could it be that speaking to what you were born for? I'm going to tell you a story. This is acrobat, right? Best acrobat in the world. He falls in love with another acrobat. She's like the best female acrobat in the world. So they're the best acrobats. They have a baby acrobat. Right? Now, this is back in the 1800s. They use wagons, right? They're in a circus. They're going to the next town. Baby falls out of the back. They don't know. Keep going. Right? This farmer and his wife come up, hear the baby crying. Nobody's around. What do you do? They can't call 911. So they take the baby home. They figure someone's going to come by, tell them, hey, anybody find the baby? Nobody comes by. So they raise the baby as their own. They don't know what else to do. Kid's amazing, though. You know, like 4 or 5 years old, climbing on everything, driving mom crazy. Get down. Get down. I mean, I have ones like that, right? I had one like that. Get down. Right? Climbing on the house. Climbing on the tractor. Climbing on everything. So, kid's getting older. It's always, stop climbing, stop climbing, stop climbing. Kid's 12 years old. Dad's taking him out. We're going to go learn how to plow because we're farmers. We're going to learn to be farmers. So he gets out there. He's got the horse strapped up to him. Big old plow. Big old horse. You know? Dad's like, keep it straight. Keep your head down. Plow straight. Plow straight. Keep your head down. Plow straight. Years go by. He learns to be really good at it. Great farmer. He's beat up along the way, you know. Farmers get beat up. It's hard work. He's about 16 years old. All he knows is being a farmer. He's in town one day, and there's a billing, right? On a piece of paper, there's these people flying through the air on ropes. He's like, whoa, that is amazing. I want to see that. It's called a circus. So he's bugging his parents. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. Come on, what are I going to do? I got to go. They finally give in, take him to the circus. He's at the circus, and his heart's just, boom, boom, boom. Oh, this is absolutely amazing. He's just flying in his own heart. He's seeing them. It's just, there's something just sparks in him. Turns out, those are his parents. Now, this was a story Bob Hemp told. I shortened it dramatically because I don't have enough time. But my point is, there was something inside him that recognized what he was supposed to be. And he knew it wasn't a farmer. Now, he gets he gets reunited with his parents, and it takes time before he learns how to be an acrobat again. Because his thinking was the thinking of a farmer. His body was beat up from trying to be a farmer. But eventually he hits this place in time where something clicks and he starts thinking differently and he realizes this is who I am. Do you know that when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you have God inside of you, you're not trying to become a good person? You might be, but that's not the way it's supposed to work. See, you already are an acrobat. God's not trying to convince you to become something you're not. He's trying to convince you to become something you already are. This is the struggle we go through. So I'm going to get 3 questions for you. And these are the 3 questions that I'm going to be answering in my message. The 3 whys and a how. Why are you here? Why am I here? And I'm talking about as a spiritual leader. And how do we get there to being crazy amazing? So we're going to talk about that. So let's start with number one. You are here to grow in grace and truth. Now, while I was praying about this, I actually heard God tell me that. I'm like, wow. Because that's the script. There's a scripture that says Jesus grew in grace. It was full of grace and truth. And he started talking to me about this, that you are designed the same way. You were designed to experience God in such a way that you get more and more grace and truth, that you fill up with grace and truth. See, in grace, being full of it is the overflowing with love and favor, overflowing with joy and peace and everything else that is God. You're designed to be full of that. Being full of truth, it describes the truth that God knows. It is not describing the truth that we have known. Because those are two very different things. I don't know if you know this, but do you know there's a difference between the truths and facts? It's like, this is a trick question, right? See, the facts are gravity and physics says you cannot walk on water, right? Those are the facts. Somebody didn't tell Jesus, and somebody didn't tell Peter, because they both did it. Peter didn't do it very well, but he still did it, right? The facts say that when somebody dies and they've been dead for a while, they do not come back to life. Again, it happened in the Old Testament and it happened in the New Testament. See, the truth isn't what I experience and I see with my eyes and I determine based off of the facts that I see. That is not the truth. That might be the truth I'm living by, but that is actually not the truth. The truth is what is true in heaven. That is the truth. Because the truth there supersedes the facts here. Do you know why that is? Because this was created from that, not the other way around. The greater truth is the truth that God has. Did you ever know? Did you realize he wants to share that with you? He wants to share that truth with you. So because you were made in God's image, you were given what Jesus was given. He affected the world by releasing the kingdom everywhere he went. We are designed to do the same thing. So now the answer to number two is this. We, right, the ministry, spiritual leaders, were designed to do one first so that we can do the second, which is help you become who you really are. That's what we're here for. But I have to do one first because I can't give away what I don't have. I can only give away what I have. I will get away with what I have. If I'm giving stuff away, that's not very good stuff. It's because I have it. If I give away life, it's because I have it. So check out Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for the works of service. And that doesn't mean like, you know, washing my car, vacuuming. Could mean that, but that's not what it's talking about. It's literally talking about ministry. The idea that the ministry is the guy behind here and not all of us together is wrong thinking. Because when you're amazing, you can't help but minister everywhere you go because it's just who you are. You're amazing. What comes out of you? Amazing. You're talking to your family. It's amazing. You're talking to your sweetheart. It's amazing. Right? You see what I'm saying? If we are who we are designed to be, of course we're going to be ministry. Because who's inside of us? Jesus. Who's coming out of us? Jesus. So my role is to help you become who you really are. That's what my role is. So this is important. This only happens, one, right? The answer to one only happens to us through hearing and following. The answer to two only happens through hearing and following. There is no instance, okay? This is where I would probably get rocks thrown at me if you weren't in this church, because this is not necessarily a popular statement, okay? In fact, my wife used to throw rocks at me, not literally, but, you know, verbally. She'd be like, you can't say that. There is no instance where this happens without hearing and following. You want to know why the church is in the state it's in right now? Because we never figured this out. It's all through the Bible. It's all over the place. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. That's like intimately knowing them, like Adam and New Eve, that kind of intimate. I know them. They follow me. My sheep hear my voice. It's intimate, and they follow me. Man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You want to know what living is? You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There are so many places in the Bible where it says the word of God. We've taken that and interpreted scripture when it doesn't mean scripture. It means the word of God. What if the way we've been projecting this is the part of the problem? Because we bought into something that is lesser than what we've been given. Nobody does it because they're bad. It's just because that's the way we're taught. What if it's so different than what we think it is? So how do we get our answer to be number one? That number one, how do we get the answer for that? We have to change the way we think. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. Your mind can literally be transformed to think the way God thinks. How do you do that? John 16:13 says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. It even says he will speak what he's heard. He will speak. Interesting. He will speak. John 8:32 says this, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, it isn't the truth that I know here. It's the truth that is there that sets me free to be who I really am. It's not being free from jail. It's being free to be you. See, because I can get out of jail. I can get out of this situation. I can get out of what I'm going through right now. And that doesn't change me. Because me got me into the predicament I was in the first place. If I wasn't thinking the way I think, I wouldn't have done things I'd done that led me to the place I was in. He's not wanting to get us free from situations. He's wanting us to get us free in our thinking. And when we are free in our thinking, you will be free indeed. Because you could be put in jail, and you're still free. Here are four truths that I want to share with you that God wants to talk to us about. It is, what is true about God? What is true about you? What is true about me? And what is true about the situation? These four truths, these are the things that God wants to talk about the most. We want to talk about what we're going through, right? What do I do? Where do I go? What do I do? Where do I go? We're going through something. God, what do I do? He'll talk about that sometimes. Honestly, he doesn't want to talk about that much. Because the more important question is, how do I see God? How do I see myself? How do I see you? How do I see the situation? If I have a flat tire and I'm thinking, oh, the devil's beating me up, what if he's not? What if it's just a flat tire? What if God is perfectly okay with you having a flat tire because he's going to rendezvous you with somebody else? If you were moving too fast, you'd never be able to stop and catch him. You miss him. How we think about situations. I'm going to give you one lie that a lot of people believe that covers all four of those areas. we deserve to be punished. Pause for effect. Isn't that true, right? It's true. We deserve to be punished, right? That's why God punishes people. I know me. I deserve to be punished. See, that's how I look at myself, right? I know me. I deserve to be punished. And if I deserve to be punished, I know you. You need to be punished too. In fact, I'm going to help God punish you. See, look at the situation we're in. God's punishing me. See the situation you're in? He's punishing you. Don't tell me you hadn't thought that way. That one lie alone. What if the truth is, when Jesus died on the cross, he stopped punishing people? Because all the punishment was on Jesus. Just a thought. Not that the Bible says it or anything. What if there's no more judgment until the judgment seat of Christ, and the only thing you're going to be judged on is whether you follow Jesus and you believe him or you don't? It ain't got nothing to do with doing bad things, because all of that was taken care of on the cross. You see what I'm saying? When you get that in your spirit, how you see God completely changes. He moves from being a vengeful God to being a good God. And if he's good to me and I'm not getting punished, well, you're not getting punished either. And if he's not punishing me, I'm not going to help punish you. If he's not punishing you, and the situation I'm in now completely changes. I'm going through a terrible week, and it's no longer an issue of punishment. You see what I'm saying? See, God wants to change the way we think about things. This is what repentance is. This one thing changes everything. When we get into a rhythm of hearing God's voice and following what he says, it changes everything. See, we experience being amazing through the process of renewing our mind. Our role as spiritual leaders is to help challenge the way you think, to introduce you to greater understanding and truth that then you can ask God about so he can give you revelation. I am not the revelator. I can't give you revelation. I can give you information. God is the only one that can give revelation. I know he can anoint my words, and he can speak to you while I'm talking. I know he can. But he has to do that. He can anoint scripture so that when we're reading scripture, we hear his word. In the same way, if you're hearing just information from me, it doesn't change a thing. If you can read scripture and it doesn't change a thing. People are reading scripture while they're going and chopping each other's heads off. Let's have war, because God's with me. You know, that's God. No, zero revelation, zero. It comes through hearing his voice. You can pray and go through the exercise of praying and never hear the voice of God, or you can realize that you are a radio, you're designed to hear, and you can hear his voice, and you'll start praying in a way that says, okay, God, where are you moving? What are you saying? What are you doing? We don't need more information. Christians have been informationed out. We got more information than we know how to live up to. In a lot of ways, Christianity has moved to a place where we believe if we can just get more information, if we can just learn more, if we can just learn more. But what really changes? Nothing. In fact, you probably get more condemnation afterwards because now you know and you still ain't doing it. And the devil, you know, drop kicks you on that one. It changes when we hear his voice. See, I can only give you the truths that I have received. It is up to you to reach out and grab hold of them. So what is keeping you from receiving it? This is one of the things God talked to me about. This is where it's going to get a little heavy. A lot of us in this room right now, you've been hurt by the church. You've been hurt by people that you looked up to, that were the voice of God to you, and they didn't know how to do any better. And they hurt you. You come to church because you know you're supposed to. But at the same time, we have this, I can't really give my all and I can't give my heart because I don't trust. We were never designed for that. I want to apologize for the church, for ministry in the past, not the church of him, but the church here. I want to apologize for the pains you've received. It was never supposed to happen. It was never supposed to happen. Most ministries operate from the way they've been taught. They're only doing what they know how to do. I know that because I used to operate like that too. And there's a lot of people I gave black eyes to and broken teeth because that's the way I was taught you're supposed to do it. When we transformed into hearing and following, we've learned how to change the way we operate as the house. Ministry has lost trust with the people. This only works when there's trust. This only works when there's trust. I want you to know what we're focused on here. We are focused on building his kingdom and not ours. We've been learning how to be honest and transparent with each other. This house has gone through a transformation over the last 10 years. It's literally been on like 360 degrees. It's been bizarre being a part of it. But it's all come through hearing his voice and following. And some of the stuff he's saying, he's like, you gotta stop doing that. I'm not in that. And we're like, okay, what do we do now? He's like, just don't do that. And then he'll be over here and say, now I want you to start doing this. Okay, we'll start doing that. And it's just been... See, at this moment, I'm asking to renew your trust. To give your trust. When you do, I realize that we need to honor it. Dwayne honors that trust. And we carry it very carefully. Okay? We are not perfect. Okay? We are still human and we still make mistakes. But we are constantly asking, what is God saying about the situation? What is God saying about you in the situation? What is God saying about how we operate in the situation? And we work really hard not to apply our thinking to it. Because we've gotten used to the idea that we're wrong all the time without asking him. So my question for you is, are you willing to follow us as we follow Christ? See, our goal for you is that you would become the real you, that you would actualize the you that you've always been designed to be. And it doesn't look like me, okay? I am the image of God, okay? But I'm pretty sure when I get up to heaven, he's not gonna look like this. If he does, I'm gonna be seriously disappointed. What he looks like is that when he shows up in me, in the greatness and the amazingness he's given me, when he shows up in you, in the greatness and amazingness that he shows up in you with, we make the body of Christ. We make the image of Christ. It's when you put us together that we see him in a big, full picture. We want you to become you. That's why we do what we do here. Do you know why we have Growth Track? Growth Track is something that we do here so that you can get a vision for what God's talking to this house about and understand how to engage into serving in this house. Do you know why you need to serve in this house? How are you going to practice being you? You got to practice on somebody. It'd be better if we practiced on each other. You see what I'm saying? Now, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to poke each other in the eye, you know? That's okay. It's not a matter of whether or not you're going to get poked in the eye. You're going to get poked in the eye. But guess how you get to learn about forgiveness? When you get poked in the eye. Right? I don't have to forgive. If you don't poke me in the eye, I don't have to forgive you. Poke me in the eye. Now we'll see if I got forgiveness going on there. We learn how to operate with each other like that. Now, when you apply hearing to that, it works. When you don't apply hearing to that, it doesn't work. It gets messy. Can you see what I'm talking about? Because when I apply hearing to it, and you know, you're coming, Pastor Sean, they just poked me in the eye. I got one eye now. It's like, okay, one eye, you'll be okay. You got two. Hey, what is God saying about it? He wants me to forgive him, but I don't want to. I can't tell you what to do. My suggestion is do what he's saying. But I don't feel like it. What if you can? What if when you follow him on that, all of a sudden something opens up inside of you, you're able to operate in a completely different way, life parts pouring out of you, and then bam, your eye comes back. And now you can see clearly. But you can't see clearly until you actually forgive first. This is what it's like in real life. I'm not saying following God's voice is easy. I'm saying there's just no other way to do it. And when you do, it gets easier and easier and more profoundly affects who you are, because you cannot help but become the real you by following his voice. It is the natural progression. As parents, what do you expect your kids to do? You expect them to grow up and become adults. Is it easy? What if they just stopped growing? I'm not going to grow anymore. It's too painful. Okay. Don't grow. No, you're like, you got to grow. Get back out there. Go skin your knee. Go ride that bike. You got to do that. Because they have to learn by going through the instances. Do you know why we do equip classes? We do equip classes because we specifically picked these because they challenge the way you think. And like I said, they are not we're not giving information. They can be information, but that's not why we have these equip classes. We have this equip class because they literally challenge the way you think about things. We have one, it talks about God in such a way, the goodness of God, that it challenges you to see God as good. And when you do, something changes. It just changes you. We have another one, Keep Your Love On. It helps you think differently about how you're designed to be in a relationship, powerful in a relationship, to love, and it doesn't matter what the other person does. I'm going to love you because that's who I am. I'm not okay. It's your fault. If you would just be better, I would be okay. That's not powerful. Powerful is, okay, I know you want to keep poking me in the eye, but I'm going to kind of back up just a little bit. We're not going to get poked in the eye right now, right? But I'm going to love you. I'm still going to love you. Wouldn't you want to learn how to do that? To actually be like Jesus? You know, he loves us, and no matter how many times we poke him in the eye, we're just poking him in the eye, and he's loving the tar out of us. What if we're designed to do that? But it's the problem with the way we think. We got another one, it's in the freedom classes, that help you think differently about hearing God's voice. The reason why we struggle with hearing God's voice is because we don't really believe we can hear it. What if you can? What if it's just the way you think about it? You know why we promote small groups? There is no way for you to become you without relationships. Doesn't happen. For you to operate in ministry, to be able to, it happens through the relationship. You can't truly minister to somebody you don't know. Not really. You want to learn how to minister? Minister to someone who knows you. See, because you can't fool them. They know you. And they know when it's God. They know when it's God. And so as you're going through this process of growing and you're hearing his voice and you're going, the ones you're walking with are going, wow, that is real. That's the real deal right there. I could see it because I knew them when they weren't the real deal. And talking about ministry, that's when you're able to start ministering. You can't operate by yourself and just be a lone wolf because you'll never grow the way you're supposed to grow. Doesn't happen. It's also the place where pastoralship actually operates in the house the way it's designed. See, Dwayne is not the pastor. He's probably listening right now going, what? I'm not the pastor? No, he's the apostle of the house. He can't pastor all of us. There's way too many people here to pastor. If everybody needed pastoring right now, he would never sleep, and we still wouldn't all be seen. Right? So we just don't get a lot of pastoring, right, from him. So where are we getting pastoring from? Where is pastoring operating in the church like it's supposed to? See, pastoring is that coming up close, walking with somebody, helping them feed, helping them find the green grass, pointing them in the right direction. In this room right now, there's a bunch of pastors. That gift is operating, has been given to you. You just don't know how to exercise it because no one ever told you, because he's the pastor. We want pastoring to operate at the lowest level. That's probably the wrong way to say it. At the closest level, that's better. At the closest level to people. And when you get a small group and you get the leader of that group helping just love on the people, that's what pastoring is supposed to be all about. They get sick, the group comes in there. Someone gets hurt, group comes in there. Someone passes away, the group comes in there. That's what it's designed for. We don't randomly pick these things because they're really good ideas. They're important. So the answer to number three, right? How do we get there? It's summed up in this. This is a partnership of responsibility. We are responsible to you, but you have a responsibility to this family also. It doesn't work without trust. But you are, to be you, you have to engage. You have to tell yourself, it's okay for me to go for it. And if it doesn't work exactly right the first time, I will get back up and ride this bike. Because it's not about people, it's about God talking to me about who I am and me realizing that and allowing me a space to be who I really am. We want you to be spiritual leaders. You are all designed to be spiritual leaders. And it might not show up like me, but there is nobody in this room that's not designed to be a spiritual leader. You could be the most introverted, tape on your glasses, don't know how to talk to people, right? And minister everywhere you go. Because when you are shining, people know it, people feel it, and the people you come in contact with, especially your family, your kids, parents, the ones you come in contact with most, you are gonna bleed over on them shininess. You're gonna just leak shininess all over them. And you will minister them. Because that's who you are. You are crazy amazing. That's your true DNA. We've chosen to follow God and serve you. And just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm asking for your trust because we are designed to change the world. And I don't think that's a lofty goal. One of the reasons why I don't think that's a lofty goal is because, okay, you got to bear with me on this one, right? Just telling the truth like it is. You know, Tony Mills, Pastor Lowe, myself, we're meeting, right? And I go to the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom. Da-da-da-da-da-da. God talks to me. He says, you can have it all. And I'm like, oh, whoa. I had to hold myself up because of the weightiness of those words. And he's reminded of me to me several times. And when he does, it rushes back in that you can have it all. And he wasn't talking to me specifically because he was, but he was also talking to this house. You can have it all. He's not holding anything back from us. You can have as much as you want. The problem is the way we think. The problem is the way we see. part of the first part of the solution is to just start believing again. To believe what he says is true, and it is absolutely for you. As a big brother that grew up in this house, this is what I'm asking. For those that know me, when I first came here, I couldn't walk without a walker for very long. Okay? I got sick, and they saw me get sicker and sicker in this house. And I come from a background that was United Pentecostal. And we were bam. If anybody knows the UPC, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Doing the best they could with the understanding that they had. Intentions are good, okay? I'm not railing on anybody. But my thinking was jacked up. I looked good on the outside, but on the inside, it was not working so well. And I changed over time because of one thing that happened in my life. As I got sicker and sicker, I got to the point I was probably going to be dead. I'd been in a wheelchair for 2 years. I'd probably be dead in about 6 months. And I just reached the place that, God, everything I thought I knew about you that I learned, it's not correct. I know it's not. And if you want to heal me or you don't want to heal me, if you want me to stay sick, die, I'm okay with anything, but I just need you. I need you more than anything else. All of a sudden, bam, I started hearing. Went to the doctors, they found out what's wrong with me, and I started to get better, and I got better slowly. It's like he didn't want me to move too quickly. I don't know if that's true, just the way it felt. But I kept hearing. And I would go to Dwayne. See, now Dwayne and me had the same background. Didn't come from the same churches, same background. And I'd go, hey, Dwayne, I'm hearing God say this. And Dwayne would be like, I'm hearing the same thing. I'm like, what are we going to do? And he's like, I don't know. We're going to wait till God says something. He's going to give us more. And I've watched Dwayne in this house walk by hearing. Okay? That's what this house is about. This one message is the hallmark of why we keep talking about it, because it is the only way we're going to get to where we're designed to be. It's the only way we're going to find the joy and the peace and the fulfillment and everything that we're promised. It's the only way. And you can have it. You can have it. We need to grow up. And I'm not saying that with a pointing finger. We just can't be satisfied where we're at. We are designed for so much more, but we need to grow. And we have to tell ourselves it is not okay to keep doing the same things over and over again and not changing. And we are giving you a pathway to change. We are. Be patient with it. Be patient with us. But the first thing comes from right here that says, okay, God, I'm going to believe again. And I am designed to hear your voice. And I'm going to keep going after it. And I am not going to listen to anything. Any voice that tells you you're not good enough to hear God's voice, I'm telling you, it is a lie. It is a lie.